Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, rainy, kind of gloomy Wednesday, April the 6th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. If you have anything you'd like to say about the topics we talked about in hour number one, please feel free to give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. Also, I do want to say a congratulations to one of our radio station family members, Terry Tackett, who is celebrating 23 years this week at his current job. 23 years. So congratulations to Terry. Have fun making fun of him all the time, but he is a good guy. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, just a quick comment about, I think the last caller said something about would the judge be in protective custody when he goes to serve out his sentence. Most likely he will be in what they call a segregation unit. It's not really a protective custody, but it kind of puts people that may have had some reason in their past as to why they might be in danger. So generally it's a unit where he would have a separate cell of his own. Would probably be in there for 23 hours a day with an hour out in like a day room situation. So what I'm guessing anyway.
Well, you know, Fred, and just this morning I had not planned to talk about this, but do you think that the story about them going to prison is a story?
No, not at all. I sometimes don't understand the press in some instances, and why is it any different from any other group of individuals that are taken to prison on a daily basis? You know, I used to do that. I used to transport people to prison, and it's just a routine matter of fact. I suppose because of his situation, his status in life, and the fact that he was a judge, it's news to some people. But to me, it's just another part of the daily routine of transporting people to prison.
Right, and you know, the thing of it is, I get that people want to know about this trial. I get there's curiosity, and I get that something bad was done here, and you can't defend that. But the problem becomes after a while. How do you ever, if you serve your time, which is what you're supposed to do,
right,
and you do what they tell you to do, how do you ever get back into the community? Are people really out to rehabilitate you and make you serve your time for your crime, or are they out to humiliate you?
Well, ideally, of course, it's rehabilitation. The reason why we have prisons. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way, and especially with someone that has status in a community, they're going to face those types of things. And what those folks are going to have to do is make a decision as to whether or not they can face what happens when they come back to Marion. And usually it's not something that drags on. It's going to be a big deal for a short period of time. Or do they try to relocate someplace else and start a new life? It's a big decision to have to make.
Oh, it is.
I personally knew the judge, took prisoners before him when he was in the municipal court system as a magistrate, always found that he was a nice individual. I know when he got to the bench, the common pleas bench, he was harsh on crime, and that's what he had said he was going to do, but to me, it's over and done with. They're going to go serve their time, and they're going to start a new life. And I really wish people would get off the bandwagon and leave them alone.
You know what's interesting?
Everyone makes a mistake in their life. Everyone. None of us are perfect.
Exactly. And you know what's odd about this? When I think about this in the Marian perspective, in the history perspective, I think about somebody like President Harding. Now, President Harding, and I am all for accurate history, but the man had some peccadilloes going to the fact that people are not perfect. You know, he obviously had his extracurricular marital affairs. Did he know about Teapot Dome? You know, I watched an interesting show the other day, and I used to be of the mind that maybe he didn't know. You know, I'm leaning more toward the fact that he did know. He did some odd things before he died, and right. Maybe that's a whole different subject. But, you know, he wouldn't be able to come and live in Marion now after his term if he had lived. I mean, goodness, the press would be so horrible on this man that he would have to go someplace else. But yet, we name high schools after him.
Sure.
We name all kinds of stuff after this man who really his character is in question. Now, nobody has a problem with that.
No, and again, I think it depends on the level that you achieve your fame. So we tend to put presidents above everybody else. I think that's probably why the exception is made there. But in the case of Judge Warner, his level of achievement on a local level is great, but in the overall picture, not something that is the level of a president or a governor or a senator or something like that. So I think if they do choose to come back to town after, and I hope they do, and I hope people accept that, I think it'll be short-lived. Because, just like one of your other callers said, I hope he's able to pick up the pieces of his life and at least have some sort of a career. I mean, after all, they've got to live.
Well, that's it.
You know, they've got to be able to function in society and generate enough income to live on. So from that standpoint, I don't think people should continue to berate them. Obviously, they made a mistake. They did the wrong thing that night. But in hindsight, you know, we're great with hindsight. We can always look back and say, boy, I wish I had not done that. But on any given day or on any given time, we're all prone to make a mistake. And they made a mistake. Let's let them pay for it. Move on.
Hey, thanks, Fred. Good to hear from you.
Yep. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Phone lines again are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. It's always good to hear the differing opinions. I enjoy that. This is the type of show I like to do because we don't all agree on everything. But, you know, I was thinking about President Harding the other day, and I am a big proponent of President Harding history. I'm always shocked at the people who don't visit the home. I'm shocked at the people who don't want to know more about him, who live in this town. But yet, the man had some problems. I don't think we should try to cover those up. We don't have to focus on him all the time. But he certainly had his peccadilloes. But we name lots of stuff after President Harding. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, he made mistakes too. We all do. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz if you have an opinion on any of this or anything else. And again, we've got a great day of live programming here. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman, 4 to 5 p.m. Live at 5 with Pastor Craig and Terry Tackett and Nate Redman, the show with no name, from 5 to 6. And Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon 6 to 7. And again, congratulations to Terry Tackett. 23 years at his job with the Home Depot. I've been around Terry for a long, long time now, and I have a lot of fun kidding him about things. But that's a tremendous achievement, 23 years, and congratulations to him. And keep on going down the road. Terry is one of the nicest people. He has done nice things for me over the years that he didn't have to do. So, you know, I appreciate him. We've all got our flaws, but Terry definitely is a nice guy. Everybody here at the station is a nice person. Pastor Craig filling in for Glenn tomorrow on Swap Shop, 12 to 1. I appreciate that. Pastor Craig's a very nice man. See, I always feel like when I single people out that other people are going to get angry if I don't mention their name. I don't know that anybody's bad at this station. Everybody at this station has done nice things for me, and I don't have a beef with anybody at this station. I think everybody is just superb. That's my opinion. 7-4. I'm Pollyanna now. This morning, I'm just Pollyanna. 7407514038. Well, I wasn't sure we were going to talk about this, but why not? If people want to talk about it nationally, who are we to not talk about it? Considering it's an Ohio thing that could affect you, or more to the point, your kids. Has anybody heard about this House bill, Ohio House Bill 616? We'll take this phone call, then we'll come back to this. All right, go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I wanted to mention one other thing. I kind of lost track of what I was saying. I was thinking about that Warner situation. For anybody that came to United Heritage Hall a week ago, they had an opportunity to see the Mary Ellen Withrow exhibit. It's now open in the museum. Now, of course, the museum hasn't opened for the season yet, and that will happen on May the 4th. That's on a Wednesday. We'll open for the season. Our normal hours, 1 to 4, Wednesday through Sunday. But on June the 2nd, and you may want to jot this page down for you, we're going to have a ribbon cutting sometime during that the evening of the 2nd to officially open the Mary Ellen Withrow exhibit, and I'd like for you to be there and cover it, you know, for WWGH. It is fabulous. The girls have done a wonderful job with it. Mary Ellen and her daughter, Linda, were at the United Heritage Hall last Saturday, and she greeted the people that came through, and I think people are going to be thoroughly excited to see the exhibit. It's much larger and more there's many more things in it than when she had it out at Primrose, because we've got more space, of course, obviously, for her there. But we've got it in a dedicated room all by itself, and I think people are going to be amazed at what they see.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there to cut. And if you need us to do or me to do anything that day that you want, just let me know. Thanks, Fred. All right. June 2nd, the Mary Ellen Withrow Museum ribbon cutting at Heritage Hall. Boy, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I will be there for that that occasion. June 2nd, I should be raring and ready to go by that point after Memorial Day. Okay. Well, here's the story. By the way, and phone lines are always open, any topic. And I love stuff like that as well. Keep us abreast of what's going on in the community. And I've been friends with Mary Ellen for some personal friends. Mary Ellen and I have had some fun car trips and dinners and so on and so forth. So anything they want me to do for Mary Ellen on that day, just tell me where to stand and tell me what to do, and I'll be there. That's one lady I would do anything for. She is a genuinely nice person, and anybody who's met her would say the same thing. But our association goes back long. I have some funny stories about Mary Ellen that I could tell that maybe people don't know about. I could do that. Take about 5 minutes and tell you some anecdotes that don't have to do with Washington. Have to do with just the woman. And the woman is a great woman. So I know she listens to this show from time to time. It's nothing bad, Mary Ellen, nothing bad. But she's just, we've had some fun. We've had some good laughs. Okay. Here's the story, the Ohio story. Ohio House Bill 616. Okay, here's what it is. I'm going to read this story. It's. I'm looking at the Cincinnati Inquirer here. This is where the story comes from. Ohio is making national headlines for its introduction of a bill that mirrors a controversial Florida law restricting how schools talk about sexual orientation and gender identity. Supporters call these parental rights in education. All right. Let's see here. I'll tell you what the bill says here in just a second. Hang with me there. Here's what the 616 is. It states that any public school, community school, STEM school, or private school. What's that?
I was just talking to Alexa.
Oh, okay. Hang on with me there.
So I don't have the feedback and the delay.
But here's House Bill 616. It states that any public school, community school, STEM school, or private school that accepts vouchers shall not teach, use, or provide any curriculum or instructional materials on sexual orientation or gender identity in kindergarten through third grade. The legislation goes on to say that with respect to a student in any of grades 4 through 12, teach, use, or provide any curriculum or instructional materials on sexual orientation or gender identity in any manner that is not age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with the standard. So that's what's going on with House Bill 616, which will probably pass. I don't think the governor would veto that, but hey, you never know. But that's what it says, and that's making national news. Okay, go ahead, Adam.
The Jason Warner situation, Scott, I mean, I'm just sounding like a broken record because I've said it, and Lee and others have said it. He's a hypocrite, and I hate hypocrisy. You know, as I say, I don't mind if you're stupid, and we all do stupid things, myself included. I don't care if you make a mistake. Atone for it. But, yeah, he was tough on people that did what he did, which I agree with. Throw the book at him. He almost killed a young man. Driving drunk is very serious.
But now, hold on a second.
And again, and he does it, and then he lies about it. We never will know the full story, and he won't be going back to Marion. I mean, his head has been hung in shame. He can't be a judge, I guess, in Ohio. I guess he could get a license to practice law in another state, but I don't feel sorry for the guy. I mean, yeah, he's a few years younger than I am.
But
you
I'm
know
not,
what? He made his bed, he has to lie in it.
Nobody's saying feel sorry for him. But there are two points here that need to be made. Number one, no judge that is elected can go in and say, I'm going to be easy on crime and get voted in. I mean, that's you can call that hypocrisy. You can call that hypocrisy, but it's nobody's going to vote for him.
I called about Marmette yesterday. Yeah, we're throwing the book at people as well.
But are we now? Find the statistic, because see, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. Are we sending out more press releases, or are we doing more busts? Does anybody know the facts?
Well, we need to let people know, and yes, yeah, so there are politics involved. Sheriff Matt wants to be reelected, and he should be. I mean, if I were able to vote in Marion County, I'd be the first one in line to vote for him. I don't see his great job changing.
But what if the person who's running against him? What if the person running against him says he's going to be harder on crime than Sheriff Bales?
That's probably what he or she is going to say.
Right.
He or she.
Right. So they probably won't be. But you know,
well,
I don't.
You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And again, I like the previous sheriff. Bailey, I believe I remember talking about the names being similar. But I just had a good feeling about Bales. I liked how he sounded when he talked to you on the air. And, you know, although I'm not able to vote in the county, it was a good decision. And, maybe I do put him on a pedestal, but he deserves it. His job
now,
is not easy.
No, listen, the sheriff is doing his job, and that's what you want. But, here's a problem. Because I'm not saying that Sheriff Bales would not have won on his own anyway. I'm not saying that. But I do know there were extenuating circumstances with Sheriff Bailey on how he was able to campaign for the last election that have to do with things going on in his personal life. And I'm not going to say those on the air. But you know what? I don't know how many people know that. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's that. But I want to get back to the Warners here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Can I interject for a second?
Hold on. But the Warner thing. Again, nobody's going to run and say, I'm going to be easy on crime. If Judge Warner had run and said, I'm going to be easy on crime, he wouldn't have been a judge. Now,
I agree.
Now, number two, so about him being a hypocrite, I guess most politicians are hypocrites then because
most people are, myself included.
Okay,
yeah.
Well then,
human nature. I mean,
then him being a hypocrite really doesn't
I'm
have
not,
much.
I'm not a judge. I mean, yes, he is held to a higher standard, just like a teacher.
Now, why is a judge held to a higher standard in this particular case than you or I? Do you not know that it's bad to drive away from an accident?
Of course I do. However, and it's not right for anybody, but he is a judge. Even if he didn't have the reputation of being hard on people who did this, I'm glad that he did. The people that he was hard on or sitting in prison or on probation saying, this is the judge who sentenced me, who told me what a bad person I was.
That's
how I see it. It's not right for anybody.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that.
But
the hypocrisy, it's It's repulsive.
But following,
I don't see him as being remorseful. He's just doing his best to pull the strings that he can to stay out of prison. Well, the system caught up with him, and 2 years isn't enough. But it's nothing.
Now, again, he did not grant himself a stay at home. A judge did that. Now, do you know the judge who did that?
I don't, and that judge isn't right either.
But that Judge Warner could not make himself stay at home during the appeal.
I know. There are many guilty parties, Scott, and the whole thing.
Right, but
is,
they're getting the brunt. I don't know that people know Judge Warner's lawyer's name. I don't know that people know the judge who allowed them to stay home during the appeal. These are the things people have problems with. Now, why don't they know these names?
Yeah, I can look it up online. I mean, I agree. It seems like 1 minute I'm talking about Marmet and the police chief and the entire force and the sheriff and the fire, what a great job they do. And the next minute it's this judge who sentences the people that these law enforcement agencies apprehend and arrest and detain, and he's out doing the same or worse than the people that he is sentencing. I don't like the sound of it.
But hold on. Now, the other point I wanted to make just very clear. Now, and again, nobody knows what happened that night. We weren't there.
We never will.
Right.
Right,
but here's the thing.
That's part of the mystique of it. We don't really know what happened.
Right, so but
I don't think he's telling the truth.
That's where we get into trouble. Because when we start saying, I don't think he told the truth. Now, yes, that's an opinion. But how is that germane to anything going on with this trial?
Well, I'd like to think a judge would be truthful.
You don't know that he wasn't being. What proof do you have that he wasn't?
I'm not people smart, so it's like I'm being a little hypocritical. I just, my gut feeling, because I'm many times more people smart than I think I am. You know, I go to this, you know, my science and statistical knowledge, I'm using that kind of to sub for my people smarts. But I think most listeners would agree.
What did he lie about?
He's not telling the truth. I don't know what happened. I'd love to know.
Adam, you just said he wasn't telling the truth. Now, what's he not telling the truth about?
Well, first it was like who was driving.
Now, it's my understanding in the court of law, a lot of people testified that he was not driving.
Right. Yeah. We don't know. And again, you're right that the judge who is rather lenient, that person, again, is not exactly on my favorite people list either. Yeah, the whole thing just gives me such a sour taste, Scott, because, again, I guess it's partially because 1 minute I'm talking about Marmet and the sheriff and the police and the fire, how wonderful they are, and every minute, every word of it, then I'm talking about this. And
well, you know what?
This is the same community.
You know why we're still talking about this? Because people are doing stories on them going to prison. Do you think that in and of itself is a story?
I think we'd like to know.
Do we?
I think the young man's family would like to know.
They don't know?
Well, they know, but they want to see it in the paper because they want to make sure people know. Let me phrase it.
There we go. Now, why do you and I need to know the day the man sets back foot in prison?
Well, I'd like to know that he is getting punishment for what he did. I mean, two years is a bit lenient, better than nothing.
When you run a story that says the appeal is denied by the Supreme Court, they're not going to hear it, and the Warners are going to report back to prison, why do you have to do a separate story telling the moment that they're going back to prison? You've already said that they're going back to prison.
I think people want to know because he is a public figure, and out of a judge, we know judges aren't perfect, but yeah, judges drink, that's fine. I drink, but I don't drink and drive, and I certainly do not...
Right, but that's not what this story...
...a man and then drive away and then try to cover myself.
Right, but that's not what this story is. This story is not about the trial. This story isn't about the appeal not getting heard. This story isn't about them having to go back... That's what this story is, about them going back to... Exactly when they're going back to prison. That's what the story is.
People are just interested in knowing. I talked to the reporter who wrote the story, Scott.
I have no desire to. In my opinion, that is just dragging out a story, maybe to sell newspapers. I don't know. It's just,
well, part of it is, yes, to sell the paper, to get web subscribers, to get advertisers. Newspapers are a business. You're right.
But to me, at some point, you got to let this dog rest. I mean, they're going back to prison. The appeal's overturned.
And when we know he and I presume Julie are in prison and they will not be getting out for a certain amount of time, then it would be toned down. Of course, is there parole? How is that going
to
work?
Well, I'm sure they'll be allowed to apply for parole like anybody
and
else.
It is interesting. What's he going to do? Again, he'll just be mid-50s, I believe, and she's even younger. Is he going to move out of state and try to...
Well, if we...
I think Lee mentioned, he's right. Lee has said is right. If we can show that he has remorse, I don't believe that he does. But again, I'll bow down to my lack of people.
Now wait a second.
He would make a great lawyer, because goodness sakes, he has seen it all. But
how do we know that he won't have remorse in 2 years?
Well, maybe he will. That's what prison's supposed to do. That's what I think Lee mentioned.
Yeah, but I think this has become right. But what my point is, listen, nobody's saying what he did is right. Nobody is saying that. And nobody is saying that him going to prison is wrong. Nobody's saying that. But when we start making personal assumptions, well, he should have got more time. He's not telling the truth. He doesn't have remorse. We don't know any of those things. That is an absolute personal opinion.
And maybe you can have a probation officer or someone who would have not just better people smarts. That isn't hard to have better people smarts than myself, but have professional knowledge about how people become remorseful. Yeah, get a probation officer on, someone who is involved in that field.
Yeah, but how
that
do we?
Great guess.
How can we get into Judge Warner's head? We can't. So
no,
to make those statements.
Now that's why I'm suggesting a professional in the field.
Well, I don't think they're in his head either.
Interviewer of the dollar bill signers, of the local officials and celebrities and veteran comedians like Shecky.
Well, I mean, do you think we should?
I mean, yeah, you're a great reporter, Scott. I mean, and your ability to get guests, find someone who can somewhat get into Judge Warner and Julie's head.
I don't think anybody can. That's what I'm saying. When did local news and when did local stories become places where we started predicting what's in people's minds and what we think they should be sentenced to? That's not our job.
That people have, I think we like to know. And just hypocrisy, that leaves a really bad taste in people's mouth. I think people would agree. I don't like hypocrisy.
Well, we'll see what happens.
This is the worst kind.
We'll see what happens down the road.
If you want a guest request, Scott, get someone and get a probation officer, someone who works in the prison system. You had the prison choir on. You've had so many good guests in that field. Ask him or her. That person has training, more natural people smarts, and experience, and that would be great. Invite our listeners. Lee, call back. Do you agree with my guest suggestion? And anybody else? And yeah, we're interested in knowing, and we want the guy to succeed. I think, as he said, I think he'll be a great attorney after he gets out. But he needs to make sure he understands what he did.
Well, we shall see
and,
what
you know,
happens.
Look at his resume. It's very good, but he needs to sit in that prison cell, as does Julie, and just realize.
Well, I think they're going.
Sir, think about his life and his goals and his principles and. Hopefully, look on.
We'll see how it goes. Thanks, Adam.
Okay, Scott. Thanks. Have a great day.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038, 42 minutes past the hour. We're getting a message here on Facebook via social media from one of our listeners, Mary. It's a follow-up to a previous story. I believe people want to know justice has been upheld. Mary, I agree with you that... people wanted to know what was going on with that case. I agree with that 100%. But I think we covered that already when we said the appeal was denied and we said that the man was going back to prison. I don't know why we're reporting again that he's going back to prison. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Yeah, this thing's kind of getting beat to death here. I don't know what's in Judge Warner's head and whether he's remorseful or not, but I know his parents and they're the nicest people in the world. And I know it's been very hard on them.
That's exactly right. And we have to understand, so these people have families.
Yeah, and it's been extremely tough on them, and we've been praying for them because they're just, like I said, they're just the nicest people you could ever meet. And so I feel sorry for them. So, you know, and I'm sure that when the Warners get out of prison, that will be in the paper also.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure. But now, just an opinion. Do you think the story about them returning to prison in and of itself is worth a story?
I think it's worth a short article. I don't think it's worth I don't think it's front page material, simply because they're persons of interest. And if it was reported in the Columbus paper and not in the Marion Star, that people would be complaining that they got preferential treatment from the locals. So,
well, I wonder who wrote the story. I haven't seen the paper.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a local person or.
Yeah. I don't know either. Can't answer that. I'm not at home right now. So.
Well, no,
I can't answer that.
It's an interesting take, and you know, I think a lot of people are concerned with Judge Warner's family, his parents, and hopefully things get better.
Absolutely. I think once they get in here, once this is over with, things will get better, not only for, them and for the community. It's a time for healing. Really, I guess that's the best way to look at it from my perspective. But if you don't mind changing the subject
a
little bit, you were talking about the machines this morning.
Yes.
And it reminded me, this doesn't have anything to do with McDonald's or anything, but it reminded me when I was in the Navy on our ship, you couldn't get snacks. If you didn't like what they served you for a meal, good luck. You wait till the next meal. Maybe there'd be something that you would like. There's no place to go get snacks or anything, but they did have a Coke machine. Now, this is back in the mid to late 60s, so the machines were not as advanced as they are now. It was one where you would put your money in and a paper cup would fall down, and then it would fill up with the syrup and the water. Well, the machine we had a great reputation of, you put your money in and the soda water and the syrup would come down, and then the cup would come down, and you got just an empty cup. Or the cup would come down, the syrup would fill up, and you'd get no soda water in there. It was just horrible, and it was like it got the reputation of being like a slot machine. You didn't know if you were going to get anything really or not.
Take your chances.
So you take your chances.
Hey,
yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I know we had some calls coming in there while we were on the phone with somebody else. If the line's just ringing, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So call on back in. No matter what the subject is, we will continue to talk about it. 47 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time, 740-751-4038. All right, I think we have another call coming here. Let's see what we have coming down the pike. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I wanted to call back. Adam wanted me to call back. I do agree with Adam, except I think the punishment of 2 years is plenty for the situation. I don't want to, I'm not worried about seeing him burn or anything. I think he wasn't driving. I still think that drugs involved. I think they had been partying, and the main reason why they didn't call right away, they wanted to give those drugs time to get out of their system and not be tested.
Well, see, but again, that's conjecture. It's like saying they're not remorseful or that they lied. We don't know any of this.
Well, I don't know if that is true or not, but that's the only reason why I can figure that they didn't take a DUI and was so scared of. You know, I can't say it's true. That's just my personal opinion.
I
think 2 years, and I think him serving it, and I think, you know, it's fine, you know, for people to know that he's back. I don't think a normal person would have got out on the appeal, but, you know, when you have public servants and public life, you give a little bit of good, you give a little bad, too.
Well, but the problem is the media focus and the people focus more in on the good that they get than the bad. People, I've heard 1,000 times that the Warners got special treatment. Okay, well, if you believe that, you're believing that because he was a judge, but nobody ever talks about the bad part of that, which is that they get covered in the newspaper when a regular person would not. They get covered on the Columbus media when a regular person would not. And as our last caller said, that does affect his parents. His parents are still living and having a very rough time with this. They didn't do anything wrong. But seeing that in the paper every day, seeing that on Channel 4, 6, or 10, not pleasant for them.
No, you know, I don't want, you know, anything amount to parents, but when that's another aspect, when you have public life, if you do something wrong, you're going to shame your parents more than if nobody knows you.
Well, you know what? I've always felt that the media can say anything they want. It doesn't really matter. In the end, to be honest with you, what does it matter what the newspaper or radio or television or internet says? It really doesn't have, it doesn't mean anything in the end. If you are remorseful, truthfully, and you want to go back and have a good life, and you do regret what you did, and you're telling the truth, well, you know what? It doesn't really matter what anybody else says.
No. And I hope we can come back and have a good life, but he did do wrong. He does give a little bit of good. He does give a little bit of bad. And I think, you know, him, especially when he was sentencing people, they have situations in their life just like he has situations. So you can't be noted for throwing the book at people and then want sympathy for your situation.
Well, that is interesting, and I don't know what I don't know what he would say to that.
If you did the bad, give it to me.
Yeah, but do you think that politicians, which judges who do run for office, I guess are considered politicians to some degree, I mean, how many politicians do you know that don't pay off on their campaign promises? Well, he paid off on his. He said he was going to be hard on crime, and he was. But now he's getting called a hypocrite for doing that. So, you know, it's very, very difficult.
He wants special treatment for him, you know.
But I don't know that he got special treatment because the judge that made the decision to allow them out on appeal, that's the judge's decision. And I'm sure it wasn't a judge that he knew because that would have been a conflict of interest.
Well, I'm sure the judge probably knew has heard his name. I think that's the only reason why he got out, you know, was because he was a former judge and, you know, the name had come through. So I think he did get out for that reason. But that's the good and the bad.
It's hard to say. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Again, phone lines are open. I heard that other people were calling in there. Phone lines are wide open right now, 740-751-4038, 52 minutes past the hour here on this Wednesday morning. Don't forget today, Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4 to 5. Live at 5, The Show with No Name with Pastor Craig, Nate Redmond, and Terry Tackett, 5 to 6. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6 to 7 today here on WWGH Radio. All right, 52 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. We'll continue talking about whatever you would like to talk about for the next 7 minutes as we round out the program. And again, if you've been trying to call in and just getting a ringing, just means we were on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying back in, 740-751-4038. We'd love to hear your opinion. You know, there is some agreement this morning, some disagreement. Everybody has a little different take on these stories. And we'd love to hear yours, your opinion. So if you've been thinking about it, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. We'd love to hear from you. All righty. And we're going to hear from somebody here, which is a good thing. Go ahead, caller.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I don't know if it was because of his age, but I know they were kind of tight-lipped on exactly what happened to the young man that was hit. What do you know of any, like, was it, like, you know, how bad was it?
Well, I think the accident was pretty bad, and I think the injuries were pretty bad, but I don't...
Pretty bad, like he's in a wheelchair now?
No. No, I don't think he's in a wheelchair. To be honest, I really don't know. I don't believe he's in a wheelchair. I think he has resumed pretty well normal life. But I think there are some obviously mental scars, I would guess. But I don't know that there's anything permanently physical. I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I noticed they were real, like, not to say exactly what happened to the young man. I don't know if that's because of, like, litigation over his age, or I don't know what, why they were so careful.
Well, I think it's a tough story. It's like covering sometimes a rape case. I mean, you want to talk about the person who committed the crime, but you don't want to talk about the person who suffered the crime, because they don't want to be put in the paper. They don't want to be, you know, splattered across television. And, you know, that's a big problem with this. We know that boy's name. It's been printed in the paper many times. I'm not going to say it again because I don't think it needs said. But it's very interesting that does he want to be in the paper time and time again? Does he want to have
this
it?
This is kind of like that Will Smith slapping that dude. Like, this is going to go on for eternity. We'll be talking about this for a long time to come.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. So
I think people just wanted to make sure that justice was carried out.
Well, and I think, but I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, what I don't understand, the story last week was the appeal was not going to be heard, and they were going to have to report back to prison. Okay.
So why run it again?
Why write that again? I don't understand why that's a story the moment they reported back to prison.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think if just Joe Blow down the road did the same thing, do you think that, you know, let's say he works at, you know, a burger joint making minimum wage, do you think that he would have had the same opportunities as these two?
I don't know.
Staying out of prison and doing all these appeals and all this other.
Well, here's what I will say. I don't know, to be honest with you, because they might not be able to afford a high-priced attorney, but I will also...
Well, the point is, it's not their status in life that got them. It's the money.
Well, I think the better attorney you have, the better off you're going to be. But I will also say that if it was somebody who worked at the hamburger joint, highly unlikely it would have been on the Columbus News, highly unlikely it would have been in the paper, highly unlikely the trial would have been covered, and there might have been a plea bargain if it was a first offense, as it was for these two, and they might not have gone to prison at all. I don't know.
True. Yeah, I never even thought of that.
You know, is there some precedent on this? I would like to know that. I'm sure somebody else has done a hit and skip at some point. Did they go to prison for 2 years? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting.
Well, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Again, phone lines are open 57 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 57 minutes past the hour. A great conversation here this morning on the station, and that's why we are the talking place, and this is the what we're really talking about here. I mean, yes, we're talking about the Warner case, but what we're really talking about is there forgiveness? Is there a time that the penalty box opens up on something you've done. As Fred Malone said earlier on, everybody makes mistakes, and some are bigger than others. But is there a time we open up the penalty box and say, hey, you know what? Let's move on past that, and let's let the person live a normal and happy life. You know, if they've done their time as dictated by our judicial system, do we forgive? Are we a forgiving society? A lot of people are just very, I'll tell you this, a lot of people are very hard on crime oriented until it happens to somebody in their family. And then they change. But we're like that about everything. You know, a lot of people, Nancy Reagan, do you remember Nancy Reagan being against, the Republican Party, I guess I should say, being against stem cell research? But when President Reagan came down with Alzheimer's disease, Nancy Reagan all of a sudden came out for stem cell research. Now, was that because her husband had a disease that possibly could help? You have to get in Nancy Reagan's head, but what changed her opinion? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. So forgiveness is the topic. A lot of great shows coming up here today on WWGH Radio. Don't switch that dial. I appreciate everybody who called in this morning, and we'll keep the conversation going tomorrow morning, 8 to 10 a.m. here on this station. Thank you, everybody. And for this day, very dark and gloomy Wednesday, Scott Spears heading for...
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.
Now, how is this all going to end up? How many games are we going to play in this series?